Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise God. We serve an awesome God, don't we? I read something this morning, and I'm going to share it. Not one or two songs, but so many of the songs just reminded me of it. And also, I think Benjamin Wright, as he closed there, he mentioned that God's purpose. We are called according to his purpose, not our own. And what happens when he calls us is this life can take many circuitous routes. I mean, we sang that song, I think, Upon Life's Boundless Ocean, Where Mighty Billows Roll. There's a lot of things we will encounter in our life, and some of them we just don't understand. And they're also, sometimes they last a long time. And in the process of that, you know what? The Lord is doing something in our heart that we need done. He's working in our heart. And though sometimes all we can see is the circumstance, there's a much greater force. I mean, there's a much greater force at work. It is God. And he is working, and he's doing what only he can do. And so much of what we, a lot of times we can't just look at things naturally, but the Lord, he intends for us to look at it from a supernatural viewpoint, a different worldview, which is actually God reigns. And there's nothing that can happen outside of his will. And where I want to read from is 2 Kings 5, and that's the story of Naaman. But, another thing I thought about during the song service is do you know someone, or even in your own life, you can see people go through a whole lot of things, and though you might not understand it, it serves as a purpose at a practical level for others. It touches somebody else. And the Lord, because he is who he is and says he is who he says he is, he's going to accomplish his purpose. And he's going to use us, he's used others, and he's going to use circumstances for our good and for the good of others. But this is about Naaman. I'll just start in verse 1. The king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. And, that leprosy, you couldn't just go to a good doctor and get healed. You had a big, big problem. And though Naaman was a respected man, an honored man, he had something he couldn't change. And you got to figure, he got up every morning and knew he was a leper. I mean, physical affliction that goes a long time can be devastating for us. I tell you what, it's humbling. But even that, when the Lord humbles us, is that a good play? Is that a good thing? We are proud by nature, and it takes a lot, sometimes a lot of suffering to get us to a point where we can actually hear the Lord's voice. But thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his grace. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. And, when I read that this morning, I thought, gosh, it doesn't say much about this little girl or this young girl, but you think about it. She was uprooted and stolen from her family. It don't say much else. How easy would it be for any young girl to be stolen or captured from her family and then have to serve as a servant in a foreign land? Would that be tough? Okay, but look how the Lord's going to use this little girl. The tragedy as it was, still God uses this to get something started. Because you know what? God was interested in Naaman. He was interested in Naaman's heart. Anyway, one day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." The only reason she knew a prophet was there because that's where she was from. And she's speaking back about her homeland. There's a prophet there that could heal him. Okay, so Naaman told the king what the young girl from, I guess Naaman's wife told Naaman. Then Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out, carrying as gift 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Then, the letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. That didn't make the king very happy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. Okay. Well, but when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet in Israel. And Naaman will learn. I believe God was interested in this man. It's obvious that he was. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. You know, another thing, when the Lord takes us through things, he can say things to us and point us in a direction that we don't necessarily agree with. And he wants us to exercise faith. And it may sound crazy, but I'll tell you, when the Lord speaks, there's something about God's voice. Have you ever, Lord, given you something, and you say, that was the Lord, and then when it comes time to exercise it, you're like, I don't know if I can do that or not, or I should, or whatever. And we sometimes wrestle with God, you know. Anyway, Naaman's getting ready to get his orders here. But Elisha sent a message out to him. Elisha didn't come out. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. That was a line in one of the songs this morning. He gave me something worth living for. But the question is posed, who can heal and restore? It's still Jesus. He's the only one that can, really. You know, it's not just that he heals us. He can heal us physically and spiritually. But how many times have you seen the Lord do something for somebody and they will tell you, he restored me, because now I can look back and know there was a purpose in that. You know, sometimes that's what we wrestle with, is, Lord, why do we have to go through this or that? But the Lord has a way of restoring all things. Okay, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. Naaman gets a little ticked. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy, call on the name of the Lord his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned away and went away in a rage. Sounds like something some of us would do, maybe. I don't know. But here you go. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says something simple, go and wash and be cured. Except they tried to reason with him, but obviously Naaman could be reasoned with because he changes his tune, right? Praise God. So Naaman humbled himself. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Praise God. Amen. Can you imagine? I mean, it does not say how long Naaman had leprosy. But, you know, you get up every morning, you go through something, and you see something, it's eating on you. You know, that's a trying situation. But can you imagine when he came up out of that water the 7th time, and his skin was like a child? You know, that it did something for him. Okay, verse 15. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. I tell you, something struck me. You remember when Jesus, there were 10 lepers, and they cried out to Jesus from a distance. They said, Lord, have mercy on us. And, you know, he touched people, healed people, hugged them, spit on them, and did all kinds of stuff. But in this case, these people were distant from him. They were crying out. And he told them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Remember? And you'll be healed. And so that was the routine. If you had some loathsome disease and you're in Israel, you had to go to the priest to verify that you were free of the condition that you had. That was the way they came back into the community. So Jesus says, go and be healed. But if you remember, as they went, they were healed. One came back. You remember that? One came back. This is like Naaman. He came back because it was something more than healing for him. He had come to God. He had seen God. He had experienced God. He had had an encounter with God. The one leper that came back to Jesus, he came back and said he fell at his feet. The Lord wants us to encounter him and to know him. That guy came back and Jesus said, wasn't there 10 of you? Why has only one come back? He said, and this man is a foreigner, a Samaritan. He wasn't even an Israelite. That's the man that came back. But Jesus made note, because I tell you what the guy did. He said he gave glory to God. That leper gave glory to God. And see, that was more important than the healing. This man had come in contact with God. That's what we need. If he chooses to heal us, so be it. But I tell you what, when he heals and restores our soul and makes us ready for eternity, we got what we need. That is healing. Because all people that were healed out through history and the Bible, they all died. Every one of them. They still have to meet God. We all do. We need a healing of our soul. But praise God, I tell you what, he's in the healing business. He's in the salvation business. Thank God for his faithfulness. Okay. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. I know. So please accept the gift from your servant. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. But I tell you what, you can see right here, Naaman was changed. His heart was changed. This is what he says. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load two of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. Praise God. It didn't say a whole lot about that, but you know, he probably was going to set up an altar, but he wanted it to be on the dirt and the earth where he had seen God. And Israel stood for it was a place where God dwelled. He took that earth back with him. But, okay, let's keep going here. Anyway, however, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. He's got something else he wants to ask Elisha. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there and he leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too. Go in peace, Elisha said. You know, he was concerned. He already had such an experience with God. He knew that, he said God was the only God. And if he went to a pagan temple and he bowed down, it was almost an obeisance to some other god. He already had something done in his heart. And he doesn't want to offend this God. He wants to know what it is he needs to do. But then Elijah said, you're pardoned.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.